Yeah, just quickly, so I totally support the motion and what Peter was saying. I think one of the key questions in all of this is why the backflip? If previously we were advised the SNP wasn't required, now we're being told it is required. And then the corollary to that is, what's it required for? Because we've done a analysis of the Lower Gawler. We've come up with a Northern Floodway project that just now needs to go and do the costing and feasibility study. So what's this? And if it's only between the banks, what's it going to inform? We've already got a plan. So, with Peter on this one, I just don't understand why now we're being asked to do something that I don't think is going to add value to what we've already done.
This is a river stream. We're not talking about a plan for a township. Nothing's going to be perfect. You can't contain all the water within the river. We know that. I agree with Mark's sentiments. We've already conducted an extensive report. It's all in there. This is just a waste of time. With all due respect, I'm sorry. I find this unacceptable. We'll be in the same position in 12 months' time and 18 months' time because we've been mucked around by the SMA. I'm sorry. It's unacceptable.
Totally agree.
All right. Are there any further comments before I...
Probably...
Just quickly, Ian, if I may, is there any merit to actually advancing with Zoom technology these days? It's pretty easy to get meetings together at the drop of a hat. Is there any merit in perhaps having a further special meeting to keep the momentum on this within, say, the next couple of weeks? And then any discussions or points of interest could then be fed into a more robust report to the ordinary meeting, which by my diary says the 11th of June, as opposed to waiting until the 11th of June, having that presentation, then there's a further need for a special meeting or goes back to the next meeting in August. Why not keep the momentum going? It wouldn't be too hard to get Stephen on a Zoom meeting within the next fortnight, feed those questions to him, and then we can actually get some, some traction for the 11th of June meeting if there's any resolutions needed out of that.
Can I just offer a comment there? I would like to see him sit and us sitting around the table face-to-face with him, eyeballing, but that can't be arranged. It's a pity, but anyway.
I would hope that if we're looking at the 11th of June meeting to have Stephen and David attend, we would be back in meeting around the table face-to-face rather than Zoom. But it depends on, whether the restrictions might be relaxed enough to allow us to do that, what the total number of people might be for that purpose. So, James, I'll just hold your thought. Greg, you had your hand up.
I agree with Peter. I think we actually need a multi-pronged approach here in terms of advocacy as well as pushing the SMA agenda. I think the other thing, what I'm struggling with in terms of even if we do go down a SMP, is how much of the actual additional work that we need to do in terms of the Northern Floodway project can actually be incorporated. That way, actually progressing that project. Yes. I think we actually need, as a board member, I think I need some information on what's the actual minimum amount of work can be done as part of the SMP and the Northern Floodway project to actually progress to a point where we've got a 70% design, so we actually have a shovel-ready project. So I think there needs to be a little bit more work to, that 1.8, is it really 1.8 or is it 1 million or is it 500,000 to get us to a shovel-ready project so that we can actually then move forward? Having said that, I think there's a whole range of advocacy stuff that needs to occur simultaneously to that as well.
Sure.
So I suppose just to round that off, I'd be looking to potentially put another dot point in in the resolution requesting that additional information is presented to the board outlining the minimum work required to get the Northern Floodway to, inverted commas, a shovel-ready project and the costing.
Okay. Additional information coming from SMA?
No, I think it's probably from David and Technical Working Group to provide that information to the board.
Okie doke. Sam?
Sorry, I'm just unmuting myself. I think that, to Greg, just answer that question, that the project prospectus provides all of that information. It's very, in terms of the quantum of cost, we might just have to tidy them up in terms of just escalating them per se, but it's all there effectively to get it. I just looked at it before the meeting. It's about $1 million to get it to a 70% design. So, and that, and you got to throw on project management. We probably need a detailed project manager, a senior project manager for 18 months to do that at 150. So you've probably got another couple hundred thousand on top of that. So it's a substantial exercise, and I've correlated the points, the gaps versus the prospectus, and there's not a lot of overlap. So there's going to be minimal overlap between those two projects. Okay. That's just some commentary in that regard. I certainly support BIM's motion and the subsequent by Mal in terms of the questions. And I think there's been a number of questions asked. I think potentially is there a halfway point where we can get on with business, not necessarily produce the SMP, but identify and fill some of the gaps as part of that next level of design development that would satisfy the SMA, because at the end of the day, they're the body that's going to, the only body that's going to be giving us funding from the state per se. So we need to get them in the tent per se. And is there a halfway in that regard per se, so we can just get on with it, not go backwards and regress, but actually meet them halfway in respect to some of the gaps as part of that next stage of design development per se.
Thank you, Sam. I'll come back to that because there's a comment that we might make on that. Paul?
I suppose my concern is around the gaps and how much the SMP can leading to the final design, which is going to cost 1.8. I just have concerns about our approach to advocacy. I'd like to see a more conciliatory approach. So I think you may, in fact, entrench people's views. So I'm just very concerned about the language we use. And I'd like to see a conciliatory approach to, like, a halfway point that we actually work with the SMA, because I think that might be better outcomes for our board and our community.
I think in terms of... our approach, we've got to get the SMA to the table and have the discussion in terms of what is possible. Mm. And we've got to question the fact that why is there a different view now as opposed to 18 months ago? Those questions have got to be asked, but what happens beyond that is something that we need to negotiate our way through. Coming back to the earlier comment about, hopefully trying to get some aspects of this Northern Floodway project underway while perhaps the SMP is being prepared. Of course, one third of this project is the desilting and cleaning up of the lower river. Now, that's probably not a responsibility of the constituent councils. That's a state government responsibility working with the Department for Natural Resources. So that's an approach we can take to try and get some, work being done on this project. so we can at least satisfy the community or the state government plus the authority can satisfy the community that there is some work being commenced with this project. David.
Summing up, the Stormwater Management Authority have copies of the emails I sent to them with regards to not requiring an SMP. I sent them also the letter from the Minister Spears advising that he would provide 50-50 through the SMA application process. The verbal comment from Stephen Haynes was, well, I'm the chairman, the minister doesn't tell me what to do, and my schedule requires I can't pay money out the fund unless there's a stormwater management plan. I have got a whole heap of governance processes I've got to manage, so that give him credit for that, I suppose. I asked the question, the fund under the schedule provides that you can pay out funds that the clause actually says payment to councils for stormwater management, whatever, that has either undertaken a stormwater management plan or otherwise processes. So I asked the question to David Trebilco, there is discretion there for the SMA to fund not requiring an SMP. He said, yes, there is. It is the SMA's preference that the GRFMA undertake an SMP. So the reason why I've just said that is because we're all going around, hopefully, saying that maybe we'll wriggle around the SMA. My view is you won't wriggle around the SMA for anything other than an SMP unless things change. But Stephen Haynes has been quite clear he's not changing.
Okay. We have a motion. We have a mover and a seconder with a proposal to have invite Stephen and David to the next board meeting, ordinary meeting of the board on the 11th of June. We also note Malcolm's request that in forwarding that invitation, we forward some of the questions that we've discussed this morning thus far.
One of those questions, Ian, be who wears the liability if there's a flood between now and the delivery of this floodway? I mean, these goalposts keep changing every other week of the year, it seems. And, you know, would the liability rest with state government having changed tact? Would it rest with the subsidiary? Would it rest with member councils? Ask the question, I'll be asking the question of Stephen, who wears that liability?
Yep. I think that's a reasonable question to ask. Whether we get an answer or not, it's another thing. Okay. Are we all happy with that?
Sorry to interrupt. Greg had a point, I didn't know if it was accepted or not, about a number four request information for the board, a minimum level SMP requirement. But then it was discussed, Sam saying pretty much that the existing gap analysis shows what is required. So I'm not sure if you've got a fourth point or not, clarification.
I think if a board's going to consider moving forward on a stormwater management plan, it needs a good understanding of the, I suppose, minimum costs. So I understand the prospectus has, you know, the $1.8 million price tag, but, you know, how much of that can we actually trim back to, you know, get a 70% design? That's really what I'd like to see those numbers firmed up. And if it comes back as, yeah, it's 1.8, then it's 1.8. But I had a look at the prospectus yesterday and I agree with Sam. I don't think you can cut a lot out, but I think there are some areas that we could look at in terms of reducing the costs.
Is that, David, something that David Trebilco might assist with?
I think on that comment, those costings were undertaken between Braden Austin from City of Playford and myself when we put the Building Better Regions application in. So it could be someone who does costing specifications to look at that and then apply current rates and pull it down to see what it would actually cost. That's one way I'm thinking in my head that could be done.
I would have thought the technical working group should just review it.
Okay, the TAP?
Technical assessment panel or the...
The GF Mays technical group.
Okay. All right. Now, Bim and Malcolm, are you happy for that to be incorporated as a fourth point within this resolution? Malcolm, sorry.
Just run that past, what were the, you know, the words going to be?
Something in the order of the number four would be request the technical assessment panel to consider the costings for stage one of the Northern Floodway project with a view to identifying reasonable costs.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think I'd be supportive of that. The other thing I just had a thought on, picking up Sam's point, where we said we'd invite Stephen Haynes to the next ordinary meeting, I wonder whether, I think there's a valid point that Sam made about not letting the impetus get away from us. We could invite them to the next ordinary meeting or special meeting if earlier or something like that, just to give some flexibility. And if the mover, Bim, would you... I'm just conscious of the time. It's only 4 weeks to the next meeting. By the time the wheels of motion get set in progress, we're probably not going to get a special meeting in too much before the 11th of June. But, Bim, have you got a view on that?
Look, I'm easy either way. I think if there's a possibility that we can have it face-to-face, I think that's going to be far more beneficial.
Yeah.
And look, if we're only going to save a fortnight in the context of where we've been and how long we've taken to get where we are, years, I'm inclined to think I'd like the motion to sort of sit as it is. The other point four, I think, is expanding on it, and that might be a separate motion. I think we're starting to miss the point from the report that we got before us as far as Stephen Haynes and what we need to do in this first instance. Mm. But I must add, unfortunately, I need to leave now, and I'll post some questions on the chat room, and I'll let Gary fill me in after what the response from the rest of the group is. But I think the motion that we've put is pretty concise. It deals with Stephen Haynes and the SNP and some of the questions that everyone's asking, and I'm sort of would like to just leave it where it is without expanding too far much further.
Yeah. So that's points one and two only.
Yeah.
There's valid reasons for that. So I'd leave one and two as it is. And if we want to deal with some more, we can move a separate motion to that.
Okay.
So one and two stand.
Yep.
David, you've got, you're across that.
One and two is receives a report and further discuss direction, and then you're going to do about the invitation and the that one as a separate motion?
No, one and two stay as they are, and as everyone said, and which is valid, is the invite Stephen Haynes to the June meeting face-to-face, and then and quite separate, but I know everyone will put some questions forward, so I don't think you need that in the motion either. That's just, you know, part and parcel of what it needs to happen.
So just for clarity, one's received the report, two's discussion, three's invite the SMA presiding member and EO at the June meeting.
You don't need two.
No.
We just, one, we note the report, two, we invite Stephen Haynes.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, so we're reverting to the original motion. We have a mover and a seconder. I will ask for comment on that before I put it to the vote. Final comments? There doesn't appear to be so. So I'll just ask you to raise your hands in favour of that.
Yep.
Thank you. That's carried unanimously, David.
Okay.
Ian, just before you go to the next, I'll just put something on the chat box and I'll leave Gary, but unfortunately I've got another appointment I've got to duck off to.
Okay, thanks, Ben.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Likewise, Chair. I have to leave the meeting as well. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, thanks, Russell. Okay. Item three, the agenda, is looking at the Northern Floodway project proposal, and we've had some discussion regarding the comments that were made by the Minister. I think the purpose of this is really to look at the level of engagement that we have, and of course, what are our next steps in terms of advocacy with state government and perhaps even federal government. Noting the work that the Gawler Council in Mayor Redman has done in writing to Nick Champion MP and also the Deputy Prime Minister. Okay, are there any comments?
Other than the comment, sorry, just if it seems as though now that we've engaged Minister Spears, the funding model seems to have changed. As James said before, from 50-50 funding from the state and federal to one third each now.
Yes, that was the indication that came out of the ABC radio interview.
Very disappointing, I must say, but anyway.
Mark?
Yeah, so I'm with Pete again on this one. The issue for me is we need to write to the Minister to seek clarification, I think, formally, given that we have previous correspondence which confirmed that the state government was going to do a 50-50 subject to us picking up the ongoing maintenance costs. So I think that's one of the elements. But I note Paul's earlier comment about being, you know, conciliatory in this. I think we've got to put our best foot forward, which is to say we do not have the funding capacity to do this.
Yeah.
We're a unique authority in the state. There's no other authority of this nature in the state that I'm aware of. And, you know, ultimately state government have got to recognize that if we weren't around, there would be, you know, this would all be in their lap. They would be the ones needing to deal with this ultimately. So just again, to seek their confirmation as to what it is that's changed between the previous correspondence and now. And then we can take things from there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is a collaborative effort. That's the other point we just need to make to them and move forward from there.
Yep. Thanks, Mark. Further comments from board members, Greg, and then James, and then Sam.
Look, I think we need to think about who we engage with. I think we probably need more than an actual letter, potentially a letter. So even if we do end up contribution, I don't think we should be thinking necessarily, you know, one third, one third, one third. I think there's a further conversations are required with the state government around contributions, and even contributions progressing the, if we do have to go down the stormwater management plan, you know, why do we actually settle for an automatic 50-50 for progressing the stormwater management plans between the board and the SMA? I think there are further conversations with state government about, well, what is an appropriate level of contribution? Local government brings in about 4% of taxation within Australia. You know, should the contributions be cognizant of our ability to actually tax as well? So if you were looking for a contribution between the relevant levels of government, you know, should we actually be thinking about trying to engage at premier level rather than the minister through this process to elevate the issue? the minister's now made a public statement. I think that's going to be challenging to turn around because it is public. And how do you actually break that process?
Thanks, Greg. The Premier, I'll just before I call on James, Peter, the conversation that we had a week or so ago, you indicated that the Premier had been engaged with this and had spoken with Minister Spears after the article that appeared in the Advertiser.
Yes, that's correct. I think you might be confusing me, Ian, with Councillor Marsh, but that's my understanding.
Sorry, it was. Yes, sorry, Councillor. Yes, correct.
Yeah, go for it, Clint.
So, you're right. When Minister Spears rang me at about 7:15 last week, he did say, yes, the Premier has... had engagements with Minister Spears, and direct from Minister Spears to me is that the Premier has very strongly said we need to get this project done and we need to get it funded. So that was quite a strong message from the Premier to the Minister, and the Minister obviously going forwards. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Clint. We'll perhaps come back to that comment as we progress with this discussion. James?
Just, I guess, throwing a spanner in the works and playing devil's advocate, I'd love to know what the Minister's position would be if this board ceased to exist, Ian. If there was no subsidiary, there was no six-member councils collectively working towards an outcome here, what would the Minister's position be then?
Don't ask that question, James.
What's that, sorry?
Don't ask that question. I don't think he cares.
Yeah. Anyway, that's by the by. So just to reinforce our position at APC, it's quite well known that my chamber will only support the Northern Floodway on the premise that it's entirely funded by state and federal government. So if that rug's pulled out from underneath APC, I can't speak for my elected body, but I'm not so sure if that support will still remain. Terry or John?
Yeah, look, I agree, James. I
agree. I'll count.
Go
on, John.
Sorry. I agree with James's comments. I don't think our council's in a position to fund something like this. We've got our budget stretched to the limit right now. We've got other commitments that are probably equal priority or higher than this one. So I think our existing policy of no contribution has got to stand. And if they want to change the game and shift the goalposts to that degree, then I don't think we can play the game.
Totally agree. Sorry.
Yes, James accepted that is the position of the APC, and that's comments that I made in discussion with Stephen Haynes yesterday relative to, expenses for the SNP and, what the authority is likely to be able to support and vice versa. Sam?
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to clarify, I don't know if you've all heard the radio interview, Minister Spears was clear about skin in the game, like a government priest in the game. Now, whether that's a third, he did mention a third, but I think there's some wriggle room in that regard. But I think the commentary skin in the game is what's the rhetoric that's coming out of the state government more so. So that's just something to consider. And I have caught up. Yesterday, Paul and I caught up with Jeff Tate. He's certainly, through his initial reviews, and he made it very clear in his opinion our role is to address flooding on the river and as a primary focus. And BIM's put some questions on the side, but that's in terms of local government being clear responsibility to address hazards and Local Government Act. He's just reiterated that. And we did talk about potentially, flood levy, flood works levies, or in terms of a separate rate or whatever, being a being potential another avenue to deal with this. So it's effectively an additional levy put on over the catchment with respect to funding that potential skin in the game per se. So that's just another option that could be considered, but we'd have to go through some detail. How does that work in principle across the six councils is another potential avenue. So that's one aspect. And I just wanted to talk to the letters that have been drafted, drafted for the mayor in regards to Nick Champion and Minister McCormack. It was to assist the continued advocacy that we have. The mayor saw an opportunity to potentially strike while the iron, there's a bit of money in the system in regards to COVID and economic stimulus. And that was as a conversation that she had earlier with Nick Champion. And it was really, doing her bit to assist the authority in regards to, pursuing our ultimate outcomes. So that was the nature of the letters. It was more really just, trying to leverage existing COVID money that might be out there.
Yeah, and the mayor's letters were much appreciated. I acknowledged receipt of those letters and indicated our appreciation for Mayor Redmond's continuing support and advocacy in relation to the Northern Floodway Project. So thank you, Sam, for your work.
I'll just add that we did engage with the authority prior to sending the letters just to make sure that Ian and David were the process.
Yes, that's correct. We did have that discussion before Mayor Redmond actually met with Nick Champion, MP. So that was good. Malcolm.
Ministers don't, or governments don't like backing down. Ministers don't like backing down. If there's any way you could feed into them, they'll change their minds if they receive new evidence or something like that. Oh, we made a decision. We've now received new evidence. Now this is our new decision. So somewhere in the bureaucracies, you can feed in reasons for changing the decision that was made, or not decision, but the indication it's going to be 50-50. Whether he could feed something in to say, well, he could change his mind on these grounds as new evidence or something like that. Just a comment.
Yes. David?
As a comment, following the media comments by the minister, I rang Chrissy Bloss, who is the principal flood management advisor to the minister. And I said, what's the bottom line on the minister in this? What's going on? And her comments were, the minister can't set a precedent whereby he provides funding that other councils might think that they could do the same. And what I'm trying to say is, if he sets a precedent by funding totally this program, then that's a precedent for other like bodies, councils, to seek funding on the same basis. So that's his political point. I said, well, what about the funding? Is there worth a conversation on the dam was built 87% funding by state and federal government? And her response generally was, well, if you get sort of the design plans and get something on the ground we can work with, because no government will fund, as I put in my report, no government will fund anything that hasn't got tenure of land and design. Once you get past that, opportunities open up. So that's just a comment as to what the background policy was.
Thanks, David. So the question is, in terms of the engagement we now have with the minister and the premier sitting in the background, there's a view that we should respond and question some of the statements by Minister Spears. Is our approach to Minister Spears, or are we looking at approaching the Premier on some of these issues?
Just a question. We haven't had a letter from him. All we've got is what we've seen in the paper.
That's correct. In the recent week and a bit, that's correct, Malcolm.
Yeah, there's no correspondence. Should we give the minister then the opportunity to reply or official response to us before we go over his head?
I tend to agree through the chair, Ian. I think the soundest approach would be to actually engage with the minister put it firmly on the public record what the process has been since the floods of 2016, the body of work that we've done as a subsidiary, and then get him to confirm his comments.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, he hasn't put nothing in writing to date. But I think getting that chronology of events and items that we've ticked off over the course of the last 4 years is crucial to underpin our position, and then obviously seek what his position is before you go over his head to the to the Premier.
Yes. Right, I've got hands up everywhere here. Gary, John and Greg.
I just want to reinforce what James just said. I think getting Minister Spears to commit in writing is important. His track record in doing so is very poor. So, yes, I think we do need to get him to put in writing.
Okay, John?
Yeah, look, I agree with those comments, but also that I recognise that politics is the art of the possible. So I think the minister is probably trying us on to see whether there is a crack in the door that we might open a bit wider to get some funding on the table from councils. I've been dealing with politicians for a long time, and I can imagine them having a little chat behind closed doors saying, oh, well, how do we get some money out of these councils? Let's try them on and see whether they're willing to. So I'd be very careful on how you respond, but also remind the minister that our contribution is going to be the ongoing maintenance of this thing, which over time will be a substantial amount of money. So it's not like we're not putting some money on the table. We are. We're putting the long-term maintenance of this project on the table, and he needs to realise that contribution. So it's not like we're not contributing something. We are. Over time, we contribute a large amount of money in maintenance.
Yes. John, comments are absolutely appropriate. Some of the conversation that I had with Jeff Tate is rather than looking at annual costs, we look at whole of life costs for our responsibility for continuing operation and maintenance, which is also an appropriate way to deal with it. Greg?
Yeah, so I agree with whole life costs. I think you should also include the costs of actually the running of the GR from A in terms of a holistic view of flood management on the Gawler River. So it's not just about the Northern Floodway project, it's about all the work we've done in terms of the planning, flood mapping, establishment of Bruce Eastwick, but also the maintenance of Bruce Eastwick. I'd outline the chronology of where we've got to. In terms of, I'd probably be requesting a meeting with the minister. I think part of risk of actually getting them to respond is they might actually respond formally as a third, but I'd probably request a meeting with the minister to talk through the issues. And again, it's around building a relationship between the GFMA and the minister with a long-term goal of getting state and federal funding to support this. Mm. So rather than requesting a formal response, request a meeting with the minister to discuss a way forward.
Yes, thank you, Greg. There was a couple of comments that the minister made in respect of the council's not getting anywhere because they were arguing amongst themselves regarding funding, which I think perhaps needs to be put right. There was another comment that he made. And I just haven't got it in front of me at the moment. That's the one I mentioned, the fact that the project's delay had been because of councils arguing about funding. Well, that's not quite correct. We've been doing lots of work to try and get this project over the line, and it's not solely based on funding. Six councils need to put some money on the table. That's certainly what we've been discussing this morning. And there was one other comment that I picked up on the ABC radio interview that I thought was inappropriate and we should address with the minister too. I'm sorry, I haven't got that at hand, but so we're at a point where I I'm feeling that members are saying we need to write back to the minister, address some of the issues, ask the questions that are relevant, and seek a face-to-face meeting with the minister to discuss the contents of that letter. Is that...
Maybe that's what needs to occur. Sorry, if I might speak, members. I agree with Greg's position. I don't want us to put the minister into a position where he needs to ask the question, what is your position in relation to funding? Because he will confirm his position in relation to the radio interview. It will be a third. I think we invite him to a meeting. I'm not sure who would be there, obviously. Ian, David, I'm not sure who else would be there. Maybe the CEOs of the council. I think that's quite powerful. If all CEOs of all the constituent councils with Ian and David were there, that would be a show of force. But I think that's the first step. I don't think you should be writing to him and asking him to confirm his position. If he'll confirm it, I assure you he'll confirm it. Third. And that's not what we want. So I also like what Greg had to say before about putting together a timeline, a background of history up until this point, including everything that we've done with respect to the Bruce Eastwick Dam as well. A holistic picture of everything that we've done to advocate for the benefit of all the constituent councils. And also the fact that, and you made a good point before too as well, Greg, councils collect, 4% of all taxes? 4%. And we're expected to contribute a third here? Come on. Let's be fair. The ongoing maintenance of $300,000 a year in perpetuity is more than enough.
James.
I've got a draft motion ready to go, which picks up those points, but also doesn't seek the minister to provide us with confirmation. I think that's been a good discussion in recent minutes. So the recommendation or the motion that I move is that we receive and note the report, and in doing so, instruct the executive officer to formally write to Minister Spears to, 1, outline the significant body of work undertaken by the GRFMA since the 2016 floods and associated costs. 2, outline concerns at the ever-changing landscape at government level. 3, outline the impact on the lower reaches of the Gawler River floodplain should another flood event occur. And 4, request government support to the timely delivery of this flood mitigation infrastructure with member councils to fund ongoing maintenance, which is our position. So it's a 4-part motion, which I think achieves the end, you know, the end result. And perhaps even 5, picking up Peter's point, requesting a meeting. Now, whether that meeting would be held with the chief executives and mayors or the subsidiary is up for the group to discuss. But yeah, I think 5 would also need to have regard for some sort of offer to meet, indeed. So 1, outline significant body of work undertaken by the subsidiary since the floods and their associated costs. 2, outline concerns at the ever-changing landscape at government level. 3, outline the impact on the lower reaches of the floodplain should another flood event occur. 4, request government support to the timely delivery of this flood mitigation infrastructure with member councils to fund ongoing maintenance. And 5, to request the said meeting.
Okay, James, thank you for that. I will take, is there a seconder to that motion before we have discussion? Thank you, Terry. Seconder Terry. I'll open that just up for discussion. Mark, you had your hand up first.
Thanks, Chair. So just to be clear, as Jeff Tate in our meeting questioned, what is the strategy? If the strategy is to A, get the meeting, and B, just seek their funding support, then I'm happy with that, because I think that has to be clear. This is no longer about, you know, beating about the bush. This has been going on, as we know, for 4 years now. We've got all the documentation in terms of our studies, etc. We know where we want to go. It's just we absolutely need the funding commitment. And I think one of the key points to come out in that letter that James is putting forward, or the motion that James is putting forward, is there's been a backflip to a degree, because, you know, previously we've had the third argument. We put forward similar information in previous correspondence. I'm not sure if it went to the minister, David, you can clarify that for us. But where they then came forward and put forward the 50%, so the 13.5 mil. So if we've got that, this is now just about clarifying, okay, so now why are we going backwards again to when we've already got correspondence confirming that the government was prepared to put in 50% subject to us getting the federal government grant.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mark. David, any comment in that regard?
We don't have a letter saying they'll give us the 13.5 mil. You received a phone call suggesting that they would fund us 13.5 mil for the BBR. And then there was issues with the board saying, well, that will still leave us short because the BBR was only 10. So there was a motion put at the board meeting that would go for stage one, which was the 2 million. And I have a letter from the minister saying, yes, he will fund the 900,000, his 50% contribution, if we get BBR funding.
Okay.
Ian, I've just sent yourself and David this draft motion. I don't have the collective email recipient list. If you were to send that to those on the screen now, they can have a quick look at it if you like.
Okay.
Then we can at least work with the draft motion anyway.
James, can you put it through the chat?
Hmm.
I've done it on my iPad.
Okay.
I'm not the sharpest tool when it comes to IT, Gary, as you probably know.
If you email it to me, James, I'll put up on the chat. Yeah.
I'll email it to yourself. Thanks, Sam.
Okay.
Yeah. It's on your email now, Sam. Good man.
I've just sent it through to everyone.
Okay. So people have got it via email, David?
Not yet.
They should have it from me as an email from everybody.
Okay.
Or to everybody. I wonder if I can do that share screen. Might try that.
At council, we usually have half the screen, come up with the motion.
Do that come up then?
Yeah.
I've got it. Receiving that recording.
I think the other thing we were going to do was give that chronological history since the formation of the GRFMA and some indication of the expense for councils during that period of time.
That can be fleshed out in bullet point one, Ian. Yeah, that's where I was going with bullet point one. Yep.
Okay. Okay. Are there any comments from board members in relation to that motion?
Sorry, Chair, I just had one in terms of just a minor one for number four, flood mitigation device. Did we rather, I'm just not sure the word
device. Yeah.
Flood mitigation infrastructure or flood mitigation project.
Yeah, I agree, mate.
Okay.
Very much typing on the fly.
Yeah.
So
we'll refer to infrastructure. Okay.
And just on bullet point five, Ian, I just left that a bit open. How did you want to advance that? Did you want to simply request a meeting with Minister Spears and the subsidiary itself, or just leave it more open in terms of a meeting invite? CEOs and mayors, what's your thoughts?
I would have thought that it would be good to get a mayor or two or three along to that meeting.
Mm.
So I think that's what we should include in the letter to the minister.
Mm.
Did you want to say request a meeting with Minister Spears and relevant and nominated mayors? I mean, obviously, to have the mayor of Playford there, given that's the biggest impact, with Glenn Doherty, no doubt, should be in the room, and possibly even Mark Worsley, given it's going to be on our side of the river as well. Maybe a couple of mayors and yourself and maybe Mark Worsley, Glenn Doherty, yourself and David.
Yeah, we could indicate that within the letter, or we could just refer to nominated mayors, which would leave it open. Then it's a matter of who might be available at the time, depending on when the meeting struck.
So maybe just after Spears, include the words with nominated mayors.
Yes.
I'd include CEOs with that as well. Let's not box yourself into reducing the who attends.
Okay. So it becomes nominated CEOs and mayors and
CEOs. Mayors and CEOs.
Yep. And all, yep.
Yep. Okay. David, you okay with that?
Yep.
I've got a question.
Peter?
I like that. It's very good. Does an equivalent motion also need to be sent to the Deputy Prime Minister or the equivalent Water Minister at the federal level too, to get the federal government on board as well? Is the question?
Definitely.
Mm. Okay. Thoughts from anybody?
Chair, just again going back to the issue of strategy. So if the strategy is that we're trying to get confirmation of funding, 50-50 feds and state, then I'm with Peter in that you take a two-pronged approach. You approach the feds, you advise them what's happening, and that you're seeking as well from their end confirmation, and then do the same with the minister advising. We're approaching the federal ministers, minister, should I say, and the deputy prime minister seeking this funding, noting how critical this project is. Then if you're doing that as a two-pronged approach, that's your strategy, then you'll have the leverage, hopefully both ways.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. I like that. Just in relation to the federal government and the approach we take there, it might pay in dot point number one to also to note that then Prime Minister Turnbull was at Virginia, and so was the Deputy Opposition Leader Shorten, and they certainly it wasn't in writing, but they certainly in the media committed to doing the project. That was, you know, I'm not going to hold them to their word, but they certainly indicated that at that that confrat press conference in Virginia at Stanton Road. I was there.
Yeah. Malcolm?
Yeah, just in point four, James, deliver the flood this flood mitigation infrastructure with member councils, perhaps in brackets, or either way, the GFRMA should be perhaps included in that. So it could read request with the GFRMA through member councils or something like that. I'd like to see GFRMA in that four as you have included in one.
Yeah, we could refer to GRFMA constituent councils.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, Malcolm. Paul?
Yeah, I think I've lost my email here on my home computer. Just the word every, I'm just concerned that might be, I'd just like to see that removed, just to soften that one section up there, because it gives a bit of wiggle room for the minister and the other politicians. I just think it sounds a little bit harsh.
Is this number two ever changing? Are you talking
about? Yeah, ever changing. If I just said at the changing landscape. ever change, it just seems a bit, given much wiggle room, it's sort of blaming them for the different stances. I just like to give politicians a bit of wriggle room, that's all.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, Paul.
Okay, thank you.
Don't want to give them too much, though.
What was that, Terry?
I said we don't want to give them too much wiggle room.
Oh, just a little bit. You've got to give them better room.
Yeah.
So just delete the word ever, Paul, that's what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, just delete that word and I'll be happy with the rest of it then. Yep.
Okay, David, I saw your hand raised.
Yes, just as a comment with the federal, Chairman Ian and myself went to Canberra and we had a meeting with Tony Passon and Gray, which was...
Ryan Ramsey,
and Nick Champion was absent. But their clear message was, if you can stack up state government to be on 50% for this total project as an infrastructure, like just don't go for seed funding, but as a full $27 million funding, then we can see a pathway to the Deputy Prime Minister as you get the federal on board as a federal state infrastructure initiative, which they're looking for. The reason why I'm saying this, if we now head off too much to the feds without having our state sorted, we're still caught between the two. And it's just you need to then be very careful how you pitch what you're saying to the feds or state. And in a utopia, it would be better to have state funding sorted. So then you go to the feds and say, this is on, we want the money.
Okay. Any comment in that regard, board members? That's accepted. Okay. All right. We need to test the water, I guess. James, you have a motion, a draft motion that you've put. We haven't included the letter to Deputy Prime Minister McCormick.
Yeah. I guess my thoughts there, Ian, is to isolate this as a response motion to Minister Spears' public comments and then deal with Peter's suggestion, and I like it, Peter, to then obviously orchestrate the further motion into government, into federal government, Spears.
All right. We'll take it as two separate motions, one dealing with state, one dealing with federal. Okay. Dealing with the motion we have in regard to Minister Spears, I'm assuming there's no further comment, and I'll just seek a show of hands for those all in favour.
Have you got a seconder yet, Ian?
Yes, I seconded it.
I did it, sorry. Yeah, I missed that.
Thank you, Terry. Show of hands, sorry, all in favour. Yes, that's carried unanimously, David. Thank you.
Okay, I'll see if... we might be able to. I just did some quick changes and I'll see if I can do this for you.
You're just looking at the motion for.
Yeah, what I've done is I've just put it up. I've changed it. So can you see it now? And I've concerns at the changing landscape. And I've put in, I didn't put in costing, so that's in number one, associated cost. And I've put in mayors nominated at five. Request a meeting of nominated mayors and CEOs with Mr. Spears to advance the floodway.
In four, David, there's going to be the mention of the GFRMA after.
Request government support to the constituent councils of the GFRMA.
GFMA.
A bit later on in the passage where it says infrastructure with member councils.
Keep going. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
GFMA and member councils or members. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You could take member out, David. Just refer to his constituent councils.
Yeah. Just got to leave my screen.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I've seen that. Are you happy with that?
Sorry, just one, where you've got Northern Floodway, just add the word project at the end.
Yep.
Can I just ask, just a quick question, point number five, are we boxing in mayors and CEOs? Should we have after mayors and dash all CEOs, or?
That was my understanding, it was and or.
Yes. Yeah. Just, David, just an oblique between and or.
It's very bleak usually between mayors and CEOs. No, that's not right.
Okay. All right. Members, any further comments? If not, I'll call for a mover and a seconder.
That's the one that we've just moved. James Miller and Terry King.
Sorry, to Minister Spears. Sorry, I didn't pick that up.
You vote on.
Yep. Okay.
And we did vote on. I just had it up there to make sure everyone was happy with the wording.
Okay. Yep. So,
if you want to do the federal, that'll be the next one after this.
Yes, it is, which would be possibly just an amended version of this particular motion.
Yeah, I think it'd be virtually the same, I would have thought.
Would have thought.
Maybe on bullet point two, take out and the need to undertake an SNP, because that's more aimed at the state government's change of landscape.
Yeah, agreed. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, take out number two, take out SNP. Where was that? Oh, yeah. And the need
at to... the end of commitments, get rid of and at the end of commitments, funding commitments, just full stop. Regarding policy and funding commitments.
And number five, request a Zoom meeting, because there's no way we're going to send every council CEO or mayor to Canberra to meet federal things. So I think it may be a Zoom meeting.
Zoom meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With who?
Well, we talked about Deputy Prime Minister and the Water Minister, weren't we?
Would it be Deputy PM is the clear one for the infrastructure for this?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Minister McCormack.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whose dog is that?
My puppy, sorry. I've got little puppies in the room with me.
Two of that small floodway project. Okay, members. How's that?
Just a point. Not wanting to step on any toes, is there, because we've engaged with a lot of federal ministers, particularly in the region, do we need to copy them in at least so they're aware of what we're doing in this space?
Yeah, good idea. Yeah,
they've been very supportive, so if they can put extra pressure on.
Good move, Sam. Yep.
Yep. Yep. Agree with that one.
The relevant federal MPs, you want your local MPs, because you know, like Nick Champion has been very strong and we should keep him informed on Ramsey, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I've kept John G firmly in the loop as well over the course of the last few months. So John G's in your patch too, isn't he, Peter?
Yes, he is. Yep.
Yeah.
How about provide an update?
Go away.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yep.
To the relevant federal MPs.
I know it's very poor governance, and I shouldn't say this, but could we get six up into the earlier resolution we just adopted? It's sort of, and if not in the resolution, as a matter of course, David, just copy in those MPs in relation to our position on the state government stance.
Yeah.
I think we just need to be careful that we're maintaining pressure, but we're not creating a political gunfight.
Yeah, true.
So,
yeah.
Well, we've got it's a state and federal Liberal government. They should be on the same side, shouldn't they?
No, I just mean in terms of, you know, raising concerns within ministers, fine, but do we want to put that as a public position to all of our local MPs? Really, we want to talk with the minister about those concerns and how we move forward. And I think that's probably the level of detail we'd be telling the relevant federal and state MPs.
Yeah. Agreed, Greg. I think we're entering into dangerous territory if we we introduce state and federal issues. Okay.
It's a point number two, just between regarding policy, comma, regarding policy, get rid of the comma, and regarding policy and funding commitments. Just add. Okay. Get rid of,
yeah. I was going to raise that, Peter, indeed. And the other one was delivery, timely delivery, bullet point four.
Delivery, why at the end of deliver? Yep. I'd be, with your indulgence, members, I'd like to move that when it's ready, if that's okay with you.
Thank you, Peter.
Two projects on item five at the
two
end.
Two projects, yeah.
Yeah. Item five.
I'm happy to second.
Yeah. Just delete one project, David.
Yeah.
Got it. Yep. Okay. With the motion set, we've got a mover and Peter. Do I have a seconder for this motion?
Yeah, I think I'd second that.
Thank you, Terry. Okay, we've had lots of discussions. If there's not any further comment, David, I need to come back to the screen of...
Sorry, just at the top, apologies, just at the top, you've still got Minister Spears right at the top.
Yeah.
This is the feds one.
You've still got it there.
Oh, okay. Where's that?
In the preamble. In the preamble.
Preamble, yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. Minister, keep going.
Right.
You're not. Yeah.
Okay. You want to write to. We said McCormick, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
Deputy Prime Minister.
I'll fix that up properly, but that's the two. Yeah.
Okay, thanks, David. If we finish that, David, can we return to screen, full screen? Thank you. Okay, as said, we have mover in Peter and seconder in Terry. Hopefully that motion is now correct. I'm going to ask for a show of hands for all in favour. Thank you, David. That's carried unanimously.
Is Billy close in Alcatraz, is he?
Beg your pardon?
I said, is Billy close in Alcatraz?
Yeah, he is there.
Yeah, he's on the jogger.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I think that's all the business we had on the agenda.
Do we have an opportunity, sorry, at this point to mention any other business or not? Because if we do, I just want to just briefly touch on one point, if I may.
generally with agendas for special meetings, we don't do that. But yeah. I'm happy just to if it's something fairly brief and
it is brief. It's just in relation to the email that was received by David from. Who was it? Is it Renee Ahrens in relation to the Gawler River Bridge replacement? I just want to bring everyone's attention to the fact that so they've recently excavated a significant hole in the in one of the levees there. So there's a massive breach in the levee, right? And I just want to ask, how long will that remain as is? Because just reading the email, this work is due to be completed at some point next year in terms of replacing the bridge. Surely that levee is not going to remain as it currently is for the next 12 or so months. So just to be clear, members, so the civil company has recently gone in to the site of this particular bridge, and they've opened up a gigantic hole in the levee bank.
Oh. So
now, if water were to come down the river, then water would just rush out from that section and go straight to Virginia.
So we could sue the company. They need to know they've got to clean it up. I agree.
What provisions
it's not ours.
To actually, like, at short notice, like, how long is it going to remain as it currently is?
Mm.
And what provisions are in place to, if they have to quickly... reinstate it and reinstate it properly.
Okay. Peter, are you happy for David to take that on board as task for follow-up?
Yes.
I don't think we need to minute that specifically. I think we can just accept that that's something that David will follow through.
Yep.
You're happy with that, David?
Yes, I'll ask them if they've got to put a cotter dam there around it or whatever, find out.
Yeah. Yes, see what they do have planned. All right then, I think we're done for this morning. Thank you, Gary, yes? You were just saying bye?
No, I wasn't saying bye. I just want to know what the members would like to do regarding Mayor Lang's chat comments. Do we want to just note them for now? Because I think there's some broader implications. I think the first one was answered. Definitely, we've got local responsibilities. But I think the other element, I think, is covered by hopefully the charter review as we go forward.
Has everybody been able to read the chat that Bim has put up? Mark?
Chair, if I may, I don't think it needs formal acknowledgement in the sense that that's just a matter he would have raised in the debate on those two issues when we were looking at how we were going to advocate for the Northern Floodway.
Yeah, long as members are comfortable. That's as long as I can pass that back to Mayor Langing.
Yeah.
Provide that feedback to Jeff if you haven't already done so. I thought that would be his appropriate time with respect to the GFMA purpose.
No, that definitely was raised in our conversation with Jeff.
Okay. No further comment in that, in respect to that chat? Okay. All right. I think we are now all done. So,
bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody, for attending this morning. And we'll see you at the next ordinary meeting on the 11th, unless something crops up in the interim. Thank you, everybody, for your input.
See you later.
Okay, bye. See you later. Bye.